Merkel says, danke schön.
Marketplace Morning Report is produced in association with the University of Southern California.
Good morning from American Public Media in Los Angeles. I'm Steve Chiatakis. Thanks for being with us this Monday morning. Germany's parliament is about to shift to the right. In an affirmation of her party's pro-business policies, voters there gave Chancellor Angela Merkel another term and at the same time ousted the left-leaning Social Democrats from an awkward coalition she had maintained. Marketplace European Bureau Chief Stephen Beard is with us now live to talk about it. Hi, Stephen.
Hello, Steve.
So if the Social Democrats are out, who's now in coalition with Merkel?
A party which is much more in tune with her political philosophy, pro-business, market-oriented, in favor of tax cuts and slimming down government bureaucracy. It is the FDP, the Free Democrats. Germany will now have, with Merkel in alliance with the FDP, a pro-business government committed to economic reform. And indeed, business groups are celebrating in Germany today.
And how's it expected to affect German policy, Stephen?
Well, in the short term, perhaps not by very much. I mean, Merkel has shown over the past 4 years that she's a very cautious and careful leader, and she is constrained. She's got a very big budget deficit with all the stimulus packages, so there's not huge scope for big tax cuts. And also, the German recovery is pretty fragile. The big question, as in other countries, is how will the economy perform as the various stimulus packages wind down? Cash for clunkers, for example. It's been extremely successful. Sales of cars, of new cars, were up 28% in August. But the program is now over, and there's one forecast that sales will slump by a million cars next year. So not too much scope for radical economic reform.
And how does it quickly, Stephen, affect relations with the United States?
They will improve. Merkel's new partner, the FDP, is very pro-American.
All right. Stephen Beard joining us from the Marketplace European desk in London. Thanks, Stephen.
Okay, Steve.
Markets in Europe, by the way, are mixed right now. The German DAX up about 0.7% right now. Shares in London and Paris are in the red, though. In Asia, the trading week starts on a down note. Markets shed 2 to 2.5% today before closing. In a few hours, we'll see where Wall Street wants to go. Last week, the S&P and Dow were down more than 2%. Dow ended the week lower, and on Friday, closed at 96.65. Oil's fallen below $66 a barrel. Social Security will pay out more in benefits than taxes it collects this year and next. That hasn't happened in more than 20 years. Officials blame big job losses and a spike in early retirement. They had expected increases this year, but not this much. 2009 may have been a slow year for mergers and acquisitions, but not in the pharmaceutical industry. This morning, news of yet another big drug company deal from New York. Here's Marketplace's Lisa Roth.
Abbott Laboratories says it'll pay almost $7 billion for the pharmaceutical unit of Solvay, a Belgian company. It'll give Abbott some new drugs for high blood pressure and Parkinson's disease, plus two cholesterol drugs Abbott and Solvay had been selling together. Solvay has also been working on a vaccine against swine flu, so this might be a way for Abbott to get in on that business, which everybody thinks will be big. Analysts have said Abbott needed to find ways to diversify because about 15% of its profits come from one drug used to treat rheumatoid arthritis. There's been a lot of consolidation in the pharmaceutical industry lately. Pfizer, Merck, and Roche have all spent tens of billions of dollars this year to buy other companies. In New York, I'm Elisa Roth for Marketplace.
The creamier version of Vegemite in Australia has a new name, and like its predecessor, there was a contest about what to call the spread. A 20-something web designer came up with iSnack 2.0. Kraft Foods says it chose the name because it's the next generation of Vegemite. But online, the name isn't so pleasing to the palate. On a food forum, posts range from, I thought this thread was about a new iPhone app, to, it's a pretty spazzy name, LOL.
Marketplace Morning Report is supported by LendingTree, offering the ability to manage money, credit, and loans all in one place, LendingTree.com. And by Monsanto, creating hybrid and biotech seeds designed to increase crop yields without increasing demands on natural resources. More at ProduceMoreConserveMore.com.
Last week was a tough one for the U.S. Chamber of Commerce. A couple of big utilities announced they were leaving the trade group. They say they don't like the chamber's opposition to a climate bill working its way through Congress. As Marketplace's Steve Henn reports, environmentalists and others are questioning whether the chamber's president can be an honest broker in the debate.
For more than a decade, the president of the U.S. Chamber of Commerce, Tom Donahue, has also served on Union Pacific's board of directors. The railroad has rewarded Donahue with stock options worth more than $1 million. And as part of his service, Donahue's agreed to abide by Union Pacific's policy on conflicts of interest. Basically, directors there
may not engage in any activities or conduct that are contrary to the best interests of Union Pacific.
Pete Altman is at the Natural Resources Defense Council.
Then you have to wonder, is Mr. Donahue complying with that directive from Union Pacific and only allowing decisions that are in that company's best interests?
This matters to Altman because Union Pacific has a big stake in the climate debate. Roughly 20% of its revenue comes from hauling coal, and the company is lobbying to oppose the climate bill. But many other members of the Chamber of Commerce have taken very different positions. And Beth Young, with the independent research firm The Corporate Library, says that's problematic for Donahue.
There would always be sort of a nagging suspicion that his interests as a director of that outside corporation were influencing him in his role at the chamber.
I can tell you it's never been an issue for our membership.
David Chavern is the chief operating officer at the U.S. Chamber of Commerce.
Our membership does not see the conflict of interest, and it's their interests that are at stake here.
But debate over the chamber's climate policy has been intense. Johnson & Johnson and Nike have both publicly criticized the chamber's stance. Then last week, two big utilities, including PG&E, actually quit the chamber because of what they said was the group's, quote, extreme rhetoric and obstructionist tactics. Beth Young says Tom Donahue clearly has a problem.
If I were in his position, I would probably see resigning from the Union Pacific board as the cleanest way of dealing with the problem.
And if Donahue doesn't resign, Young believes the chamber should force him to. In Washington, I'm Steve Henn for Marketplace.
Hey, share your thoughts with us on climate change or anything else at marketplace.org in Los Angeles. I'm Steve Chiatakis. Thanks for being with us. Have a great Monday.
American Public Media.
The world can be a confusing place for kids, and finding the words to explain it all can be tricky, too. Introducing Million Bazillion, a Webby-winning podcast from Marketplace that takes your kids on exciting adventures to answer the awkward and complex questions they have about money. Each week, we tackle hard-hitting inquiries from kid listeners like,
what is a college account and how does it work?
I want to know what unions are and what they are for.
Why does the U.S. have so much gold in Fort Knox and what do they use it for?
Help your kids understand how money fits into the world around us. Listen to Million Bazillion wherever you get your podcasts.